Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I want to take off right now on where we ended last week. I just want to jump right in here. I've got a Bible study I want to do tonight and talk about a few things. James chapter 5, verse 16. If you don't know this verse, you need to. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I memorized that years ago in the King James, and that's just the way I know it. The effectual fervent prayer, the effective prayer, the fervent prayer of someone in right standing with God will avail. I was preparing for tonight, and the question was continuing to go through my mind, what is a righteous person? And a righteous person, and we talked about this a little bit last week, someone who is in a covenant relationship. Someone who's in a covenant relationship and has received Jesus into their life. That's what puts you in the covenant relationship. You acknowledge what He did on the cross, and you allow Jesus to be your Savior. You accept Him and believe Him to be Lord of your life, which means no longer you living, but Christ in you. And so everybody here, I believe, that I'm talking to tonight has been saved, have accepted Jesus, and they have, because of Jesus, put themselves in a place that they have accepted what He did that you couldn't do, and you're in right standing. So that's my prayer that I'm talking to people tonight that are righteous. And if we've got people across the country who could say, well, that's me, then the effectual fervent prayer ought to be availing here in our country. Why are we not seeing some of the effects of that when we turn on the local news? Now, we may be seeing some, but it's not to the degree that I believe we could experience if we could get a hold of prayer. If we can understand some things about prayer and what God intended in the avenue of prayer. See, it's through prayer, our belief in God, that we even enter into the salvation that God made available to us. It's through prayer. We do that through prayer. We say, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. I believe. I'm a believer, and I want to be saved. God, forgive me where I have messed up, and He will. He's faithful and just to forgive. And so we get that, and we enter into that relationship that Jesus made possible through prayer. Now, as Christians, we need to have an understanding of prayer that goes beyond salvation prayer. I prayed to get saved. Great. Now let's pray for some other things. In the life of a believer, I just want prayer to turn to a place of excitement for God's people. Too oftentimes, it's an area of fear. Too oftentimes, prayer is an area of apprehension. Too oftentimes, prayer isn't entered into with an understanding of an excitement and that you're growing and building a relationship with the person who allowed you to have eternal life, who allowed you to have His promises here on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, all of these things that God made available, wouldn't we want to be in communication? But too often, prayer's the thing we leave out. We don't spend time in prayer. Prayer is communing with God. That's what prayer is. It's connecting with God and His goodness. It's a fight in your faith. It's believing. Prayer is co-laboring with God. It's partnering up with God. How much time do you partner with God through prayer? So I think we don't think a lot about this. Some things we need to know to have an effective prayer life. If we're going to have an effectual, fervent prayer life as righteous people in good standing, and we're going to see the things of God come about in our lives and in our areas, and we're going to see them availeth much, then we've got to know some things about prayer. The first thing I want you to know, when you start praying, you start communing, you want to spend some time with God, you need to believe that God is good. You need to believe that God is good. To believe God is good, you've got to be careful about being suspicious of God's ultimate goodness towards us. And a lot of people have this suspicion, well, I don't really know that God is good. Church, I want to teach some things tonight. God is good. Not just because I said it, but because he proved it. You got to believe that God is good. His intention towards you, towards your family, is good. Well, but Pastor, you don't know all that I've dealt with. You know, it's going to be very difficult to you grow deep in your prayer life and want to commune with God when you don't really believe he's good. You'll have a hard time with that. And you can see this in Scripture. You can go right back to Genesis and the devil when he came to Eve and he made her suspicious of God's intentions. Before the fall was suspicion. Before the act of was suspicion on Eve's part. Satan, don't you think for a second, has any new tricks. That's exactly what he does to God's people. He makes God's people start being suspicious. The devil somehow gets in our mind that God's intentions are wrong. Let me give you another word for intention, that his purpose. Because you can just interchange those. God's intent, God's purpose has to be understood and has to be known as good. God's intent, church, God's intent is good. His purpose is for goodness. And when we start thinking it's not, we've got a problem, and you've got to know God is good. His purpose got to be understood as good. John chapter 10, verse 10. Everybody knows this, and we especially know the first part. The thief comes to, y'all help me out, steal, kill, and destroy. That's the thief. And everybody knows that, and we talk, boy, the thief's intention is, and it's so easy to let that be exactly what we focus on in our life. The thief comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. He doesn't want you having life. The devil's intent is not what was intended for you to stay focused on in this verse. See, that's all we seem to be thinking about. Well, it's the thief. He came to steal. He came to kill. And that's what we get focused on. And we lose the but. Wait a minute here. The thief comes to do those. Yeah. But wait a minute. I came. See, this is Jesus talking. You got to know who was talking. Jesus was talking, and I understand what the devil came to do, but here's what you need to know. And here's what you need to. I came that you can have life and life. See, that we lose that part. Jesus said, here's what you can have. You can have an abundant life. God wants to keep you in the abundant life, and he doesn't want the thief to have access. And Christians live like the thief just has access all the time. I can tell you what the thief came to do, but because of Jesus, he doesn't win. He's not going to steal, kill, and destroy from me. I know what God said. I know what see, I'm going to get focused on the right thing. And when we start praying, oh God, the thief has just really been wreaking havoc up in my, whoa, God, I'm so grateful that you came, that I can have life and life more abundant. And the thief has no access to me. I'm not caught up on, we're just praying like the thief wins. I know what he came for, but Jesus, I know what he did that I don't have to live in. See, we got to think different. Jesus came to bring all of his kids abundant life. Are you a child of God? You just sang about it. I am a child. Are you a child of God? If you're a child of God, then you got to quit questioning God's intentions. See, the devil has a goal, and sometimes we just get so caught up on the devil's goals, we doubt so much of God said he was doing. We see that God defined how we should think, how we should live, and what happens is when the devil starts getting our intent messed up with what God's intent is, then you can always see what happens. We stop representing Jesus to a lost and dying world. Boy, I understand that's just the thief. That's just the thief. Yeah, why don't you change your saying? I understand what the thief came to do, but you're a child of God. So let me tell you what Jesus came. He came that we can have life and life abundant. But too many people act like they don't even believe that Jesus came for that. Their whole life is just miserable, 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 miserable. And what I'm telling you is, stand on the promises of God and let's get our prayer life going and let's see the intent of God. It's for goodness. It's for life and life abundant. How we see God, church, defines how we think and how we live. And it sure defines how your prayer life is. How you see God is really important. God's intention towards us is good. See, he's not, because of this fallen world you live in, he's just going to use it and he's going to punish you in it. That's what, he's not out to treat you bad. He's not out to ruin your life. He's not out to take someone from you. He's not out to, that's not his intent ever. A good parent punishes a child. And I get that. A good parent. But the intent of the parent is never bad. A good parent's intent is always good. They never punish with the mindset of I'm getting ready to do something to my child. They punish with the mindset that I'm getting ready to do something for my child. This is for them. And when we fall, when something happens in a fallen world, well, wait a minute here. Jesus came so that I don't have to fall in this world like I'm not saved. I've accepted Jesus. And see, prayer is a legal transaction. We talked about that last week. That allows things to happen in a natural world supernaturally, above the natural. Your prayer life has got to start being looked at as I am accessing my Father, and I know my Father has good intentions. Are you getting this tonight? My Father has good intentions for me. Your prayer life needs to be looked at as a journey. Hopefully and prayerfully, as parents, you see this. Your child starts out, and I've been watching Brooklyn the last few days, and I keep talking to her, and she doesn't say anything back to me. I mean, right now, she's not paying any attention to her pawpaw. She's not, she's just laying there. It's like she don't even care about me. But as she starts to mature, I'm going to be there. And she's going to be talking and visiting and sharing. And the more she matures, the more we can talk about some deeper stuff. The more we can talk about, be quiet, that turkey's coming. We can't talk right now. See, my... The more we can talk about things that are important, the more you mature in the things of God, and the more time you spend talking to him, the more in your prayer life you get, the more you get into the deeper things of God, and he starts really talking to you. You start talking to him. He starts seeing your intent. You start seeing his, and you co-partner in the avenue of prayer. But we're missing that. Why? Because we're not discipled. Goes to our right back to our vision this year. Your prayer life, if it's looked at as a journey and as a growing experience, shouldn't we, in a journey, enjoy the ride? Enjoy the time. Enjoy the excitement of God's goodness is not a magic wand. Let me just give you the other side of this. I'm just going to wave this wand of God over my problems and now everything's fixed. There's a journey in the life of a Christian. And we got a wrong concept of God because we're not spending time communing with him and really enjoying the time. When we pray, you need to know, everyone here has experienced probably an excitement about God answering prayer instantly. Come on, isn't it awesome when God does that? I mean, I have laid hands on someone, and then right after that, I've seen it happen. I've prayed for people. In the middle of the day, someone gets laid on my heart and I'll call them or I'll text them and they'll, man, how did you know? I didn't know anything. I just talking to God and he brought you to mind. And if you spend some time with God, you've had that happen. And then it's like instant, man, you were praying for me today. You wouldn't believe what just happened. And everybody loves that. We enjoy that part of the ride in prayer. But there are also times that we need to enjoy that's tough for us when the answer to what we're praying about is delayed. Have you ever asked yourself this question, and I'm sure you have, why doesn't God just answer prayer immediately? God, I've been praying about this for at least 5 minutes now. What? Why? Man, I keep praying. I'm laying hands. I'm doing everything I need to do. And God, I don't understand. And here's what I got to tell you tonight. I don't know the exact reasons to why prayer is delayed sometimes. I don't. And I don't always have those answers. Well, Pastor, why? I don't know. I don't always know why things are delayed. But I know it does happen. And there are some things that I do know. God is still good, even if a prayer is delayed. And I can tell you something else about God. He's a builder. He's building. He's building into your life. And you need to know that building is a process. And if God's a builder, he's going to work through a process at times. And sometimes there is a building that happens by you seeing an instant miracle to prayer. I mean, just instantly. I've seen. And sometimes he builds us through being patient. And then there's a breakthrough. But we're waiting, and you might not have seen the breakthrough. And sometimes it's through the long haul, and I don't get it all. And, you know, if God, I'm just thinking, and I'd talked to a pastor friend of mine about this several years ago, and Paul Kearns, just a spiritual hero in the avenue of teaching and talking about prayer. And I like what he kind of said and talked about. If God were to answer every prayer that we pray immediately, what would that produce in us? I don't know if you've ever thought about that. But if he was to answer every prayer just immediately, it would produce in us spoiled, weak, and entitled. Well, I'm just entitled. God is not going to raise his kids like that. God wants us to stand and to be bold in life when life keeps throwing things. See, but when you're in a relationship day in and day out, you can be grateful and you can be thankful in the middle of a trial, in the middle of what seems like a disaster. Wait a minute here. My God is faithful. And I don't have all the answers, and I don't even know why things. But what I can tell you is I'm so grateful for the Lord Jesus, because right now that time I can spend with him is my deliverance. I'm being delivered because I have a relationship with him. And I've seen that happen time and time again. I have seen in Scripture things be delayed. Lazarus. Have you ever studied anything about, Lord, where were you? Lazarus in the tomb for how many days before Jesus arrived? The life giver didn't show up right when they all thought he should be there. See, Jesus didn't get there in their time. He was delayed. Why? Why? Have you ever thought about why was, why? What's the point in that? It's so that people would walk in a revelation of who he is. And I just tell you, God shows in so many ways his power through time and time again. Something I've been praying about. It seemed like it was delayed. I don't know why it was late. I don't know anything. But if you're truly communing with God, you're not going to let that delay stop your relationship. See, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to stay and we're going to grow into things of God. And there are just some things that unless delayed, nothing's going to grow like it should in you. You have to grow in this. You have to grow in this. Sometimes when an answer is delayed, it isn't because God doesn't have an answer. He's just trying to get you to get into a deeper understanding of who he is. Now, this might rub you the wrong way. I understand that, but you need to understand a couple of things. God is good, and you're not always going to have an answer to why it didn't go the exact way you wanted it to go. So there are times you've got to really spend time with him and get his heart on the matter. And there are some things you still won't answer till heaven. Now hold on with that thought, because I don't want to leave that there. So we're going to come back and visit that here in just a second. Because then we're going, but Pastor, just hold on. Two aspects of our prayer life with Christ. First one is faith that I want to talk just briefly on. Faith brings breakthrough in our lives, doesn't it? Come on, I had faith. I was believing by faith. And you've heard people say that. Well, what they do is they're talking about it in past tense because they saw the breakthrough. Well, what are you living right now on faith by? I'm living by faith right now in what area? You got to answer that question. You know, I'm not where I'm going to be. Well, why not? Haven't you prayed about it? Yep, I'm still praying. Answer's delayed. I don't know why, but I'm not quitting. I'm living by faith. Come on, as a Christian people, don't we have to be there? We're stuck in an element of time. God's not. He's above time. He knows beginning from end. Enduring with faith will bring breakthrough. But let me tell you what else it brings. It brings character. Enduring by faith brings a breakthrough in yourself with character. See, I want my prayers answered, but I want to have character in the process. I want to have character, and I want to grow as a man of God. I want my roots to be deep with God. I don't want them to be shallow. I want to live in a place of faith, and I need character in that, and character is built through perseverance. I mean, you got to persevere. Well, when you take that scripture and then you just don't apply it to prayer, we've got a problem. Pray persevering. I'm not giving up. I'm going to continue to pray, and I've got to have character, and character is formed through waiting on an answer. Why do I have to wait? Well, I don't know. Right now, my character is being built, though. I'm spending more and more time with God. We've got to persevere in prayer. As I said, what kind of person would you be if you got an answer every time you prayed? Well, I'm going to keep praying, believing. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you keep praying, believing. You keep praying. What do you do when prayer, of what you were praying for, you didn't get the answer you were hoping for? Did it mess you up? Did it destroy you, or did you have your character built? It depends on how much you're really communing with God, or that your view is totally trusting upon Him. We got to be careful that we don't create a theology based on an experience. Let me say that again, and I know I'm getting really deep, but I want you to follow what I'm... We got to be careful that we don't create a theology based on that experience of, well, here's what happened. See, there are times that we don't maybe doubt out loud or to somebody else because we know that they're all spiritual. But in our minds, we accept that it didn't happen the way that we thought it should. And then it trickles down into our spirits and it corrupts what God's trying to do in our life. Everyone here's dealt with this. All of us have unanswered prayer. And what happens is, there's songs about it. Unanswered prayer, unanswered. I'm just telling you, a lot of people develop a theology on unanswered prayer. You better be careful. Those do happen, and I'm not here to say they don't, but don't develop your theology around a doctrine or doctrinate your mind based on unanswered prayer in your life. Because if you do, you'll quit praying. If all you do is concentrate on, there may have been one area that you didn't get the, and you're so caught up on this one area, and that's all you prayed, and then when it didn't happen the way you want, you quit praying. We've got to get to a place where we pray about everything. We pray without ceasing. It's a day in, day out experience in our life. We are walking, communing with God. Losing expectations in your prayer life is a way a lot of people have protected their hearts against the frustration of delayed prayer. I'm just not going to expect God to do anything because last time He didn't. You may not say that, but that starts getting in the minds of God's people. Man, I prayed, and every time I seem to pray, that's because the only time you pray is when disaster's already headed that direction. I've got disaster in my life, and so as a last resort, will you pray? Will you pray with me? You know, when you're praying all the time, there are a few instances where you don't understand everything, but I'm telling you, most of the time you go, God, you're faithful. See, what happens is people don't get caught up on a daily prayer life. They get caught up on prayer just for catastrophe or a situation. I don't know if I'm answering any questions tonight, but we've got a responsibility to stay hooked up. If you've ever watched younger people get excited in a prayer service, and I've seen it, they get so excited about what they're praying for, and they're going to pray believing, and they've seen things. I've I've talked to them. I've watched it happen in their life. And I've heard other people talk, well, they're just too excited. They're just too excited. And I understand. They're young and they haven't experienced all of the unanswered prayer that you have. And they are in this, just they just believe anything. And I know that's what people think. Let me just say, some people, and especially young people, have zeal without knowledge. But I would rather have that than knowledge without zeal. So there's got to be an excitement about the things of God. And many Christians are allowing one or two experiences in their life to ruin them from the zest and the zeal and the excitement that we can have in the Lord Jesus. God not answering prayer the way that you think it should be answered. Be careful that you don't lose an expectation in God and a zeal for the things of God. Jesus didn't teach on unanswered prayer. You know why? Because he didn't have any. Well, that was Jesus. Yep, and we're supposed to be like him. So can we not work that direction instead of getting so caught up on what didn't get answered? Jesus was the Son of God, and I understand that, and we're all in process. And we're working towards something. There are peaks and there are valleys in life, and that's just the way life works. And I get that. Adam shared that tonight. I mean, there are just times that mountaintop experiences, and it's just like, you asked me to pray for anything right now, and I'm telling you, I can believe. And there are times where I'm just suffering right now, and I'm trying to get my mind backed around, and I'm believing God because I know he did it before, and he'll do it again, and I'm standing on that. And so I understand there are times, but there are also times of plateau. And if anybody's ever been on a diet, they understand plateau. If I've been eating really unhealthy, let me just not use if. When I have been eating really unhealthy, I can go on any diet. And I'm telling you, I'm like, I mean, and then all of a sudden, what went like this for the first week goes like that. And then I'm just here. And I'm going so long, and I'm thinking, this isn't working. What do you do when you're on a diet and all of a sudden you plateau? You shock your system. I've read about it. I've read it a lot. I like the shock. More so because it gets you off the plateau, but you shock your system. You do something you don't normally do because you've plateaued. And then you get back after it. So I don't want to get caught up on the shock. Well, let's talk about this in our prayer life. There's a lot of Christian people that have plateaued in their prayer life. I mean, I get that you got into church and you started going to church and you'd come down and you'd pray during the offering and you kind of spending some time, and then at night you're praying with your kids before bed, and you've got to a place where before you eat, you pray, and so you've plateaued. That's about your prayer life. That's just kind of where you've hung out. I have plateaued. Let me encourage you, shock your system a little bit. Well, Pastor, how would I do that? Standing in line at Walmart, ask somebody if you could pray for them. Well, I don't know if I... You better shock your system. You better do something you've not been doing. You see somebody limping, can I pray for your leg? You see somebody not feeling well, you step out of your comfort zone and do... I don't know if I'm speaking anybody's language tonight, but we got to get out of this complacency mindset and just in the same place and same place. And we got to do something that we've not done, and we got to get to a place we've never been before. Something out of the ordinary. Take a risk. Do something in your prayer life you've never done. God is a good God, and he doesn't intend for you to be held hostage in your prayer life. He's waiting for you to just try him in that area of prayer. I'm talking about get out and believe like you've never believed. People get hung up on one prayer, one area. God, I'm believing you in this one area, and that's all you pray about. And we need to be praying about every area. It will work against you when you're stuck waiting until God does this one thing before you spend time praying for anything else. And that's where a lot of people are. God, I'm just praying, and until you heal my marriage, I'm not praying about anything else. You wouldn't say that to God, but that's how you're thinking. I keep praying and he's not answering this. Why would he answer anything? You've got your faith avenue mixed up in your prayer life. It's got to be applied in every area. So you can start seeing the victories. I just pray and I'm encouraged. Number two tonight, power. Power. Faith and power. Faith brings a breakthrough and power brings a breakthrough. And you got to have both. I understand the power of God, and I have seen the power of God move miraculously, and it is wonderful. It's fun. I mean, it's fun. Miracles, signs, and wonders, they are fun. I enjoy seeing God show out, and I enjoy being a part of it. Holy Spirit in Acts, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon. I like talking about the power of God. But know this, the power of God is shown through effectual, fervent, continual, don't give up, just keep on keeping on of someone in right standing, and it avails. Praying through something, we have to be about getting to the other side of whatever we're facing. We got to get to the other side. You know how you get to the other side of anything? You don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Jesus never, ever, in all of his word, ever said, y'all ought to quit. Now, if Jesus never said it, then why do we? You need to quit that. You need to quit. In all of Scripture, he never said quit. I am not going to succumb to the devil winning. Come on, that's got to be your mindset. And I'm not going to do it in my life or the life of someone I love. I'm not quitting. When it comes to prayer, we got to be able to develop a lifestyle of endurance without embracing the power of the breakthrough as a norm. We mess things up. You can't embrace a life of not breaking through as the norm. And too many people have done that. Well, I just never see God move. And so we've embraced a lifestyle of never breaking through. Well, this is just never going to happen. My mom and daddy were this, I'm this. This is just the way it's going to be. What I'm telling you, that's not what Jesus said to think like. He didn't know. He said, I mean, I'm just going through some scripture. We're more than conquerors. Well, it's kind of nice just to be a conqueror sometimes. But the Bible says we're more than that. So we don't think right about what is ours. Let me give you something I read. God gives some of his most difficult assignments to some of his most trusted warriors. Well, I don't know why I'm facing this. God gives some of the most difficult assignments to his most trusted warriors. Are you a trusted warrior of God? Look at your prayer life, and then you answer that question. You want to be a trusted warrior of God? Then start spending time with him training. Train. Well, how do I do that? You just spend time with him. Hang out with him all the time. Well, I come to church. I'm talking about every day of your life. Breakthroughs are yours. Pray for the breakthrough. You're hoping and praying. But too many people privately are going, well, I just don't know if this is ever going to happen. I just don't know. That's not praying, believing. And that's where the devil's getting a little hold in. He's making us suspicious. We can't become a believer that is more convinced of a big devil than we are convinced of a big God. We can't. God's bigger than anything you're going to face. Or you don't believe that, and he's not. Which one are you giving power to? Because I can tell you who wins in the end. Well, I know. That's why I'm going to heaven. Why don't we win right now? Why don't we win right now? Before an outpouring can happen in the world around us, a transformation's got to take place inside of us. It's going to have to start within before we ever see it in the world around us. Prayer may have been put on the back burner. That may be where you're at right now. And I pray that you don't make a theology out of unanswered prayer. I pray that tonight we don't accept a lie that God doesn't want to do something supernatural on your behalf. That's a lie. Don't ever believe that. God wants to do something supernatural on your behalf. Well, I just don't know. Shock your system. Shock. Are you hearing some of what I taught? Shock your system. Well, I just don't know. Before you leave tonight, get a group of people around and say, hey, let's just pray. Let's do something different. Let's do something different than what we got to get to a place where we learn the power of a continual prayer life, not just waiting for an invitation at the end of a service. Well, that pastor's just not having many invitations. We've got to see God as bigger than anything else in life, and that he is good and has our interests. His intent is good. His purpose for our life is good. And we're not stuck with a bunch of failing prayers. How does it? We're not praying about everything. God, thank you that I'm able to get out of bed tomorrow morning. Thank you that tomorrow morning, you've got a great day planned for me. Thank you that tonight when we get done, it's going to be a good night. See, we just start thanking God and believing God. And God, thank you that I am who you said I am. I'm an overcomer. I'm blessed in, I'm blessed out. I'm the head, I'm not the tail. Pastor, you're just talking. I'm just speaking scripture. And that's what we start praying and we believe. And God, thank you of what you said. That I thank you that you can put how many away? I'm thanking you that in agreement, things can happen that I never dreamed possible. I'm thanking that if you just believe, there's so many avenues that God wants to show himself on your behalf. God, thank you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Or are you believing that? I can tell you the way that you'll start believing it is spending more and more time with God and quit getting caught up on the first part of John 10:10 and get caught up on the second part. We have an abundant life.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.